Title: Reverb Send Rides on Phil's Masterclass with Stock Devices Intermediate. All right, welcome in. Today we're doing one of those deceptively simple drum and bass techniques that instantly makes your transitions feel pro. Reverb Send Rides on Phil's. Because here's the truth. Reverb on D&B drums is dangerous. You leave it on, and your groove turns into soup. You avoid it completely, and your fills sound small and kind of unfinished. The sweet spot is automation. You make the reverb appear for impact moments, then vanish the second the groove needs to hit. So the mission today is very specific. We're going to build one dedicated return track, using only Ableton stock devices, and then we'll write a few repeatable automation shapes you can drop into basically any 8 or 16 bar phrase. Let's set the scene first, so that automation actually makes musical sense. Open arrangement view. Build a typical D&B layout, 8 bars of your main tight beat, then 1 bar where you do a fill, maybe busier hats, extra snare edits, little stutters, whatever your style is. Then after that, a drop or a section change. And if your drums are spread across multiple tracks, select them and group them. Command or Control G, and name the group drums. Here's the mindset for the entire lesson. Keep the main loop dry and punchy, and let the fill get wet and dramatic. Dry equals impact. Wet equals excitement. You want to switch between those on purpose. Now let's build the tool. Create a return track. Insert return track, and rename it a fill verb. And we're going to do a really classic D&B return chain. Order matters here. First, EQ8. That's your pre-filter. You do not want to feed mod into a reverb. Second, hybrid reverb. Or if you prefer, the classic reverb device. Hybrid is great though. Third, a compressor for sidechain ducking. Optional. But honestly, this is one of the main reasons this technique works at 170 plus BPM. Fourth, saturator. Just a touch for density and glue. And fifth, another EQ8 for cleanup and tone shaping after the reverb. Filter into space, then duck it, then thicken it, then polish it. That's the whole vibe. Let's dial it in. On the first EQ8, set a high pass filter somewhere around 250 to 400 Hz. If your drums are especially heavy or your fills are busy, don't be scared to push it higher. 24 dB per octave if you need it steep. And if your hats are getting harsh or spitty when they hit the verb, do a small dip around 2 to 4 kHz. Not always necessary, but it's a common problem area. This one move alone is a game changer, because it keeps your kick and sub from fighting this big cloud of low mid reverb. Now hybrid reverb. Make sure your return is 100% wet. Always. It's a return. Set the mode to hybrid. Start with a decay around 1.2 to 2.2 seconds. For most fills, that's plenty. If you want a bigger transition moment, you can go longer later, but don't start at 3 seconds and then wonder why your drums disappeared. Pre-delay. 15 to 30 milliseconds. This is one of the it suddenly sounds expensive controls, because it lets the transient punch first, then the reverb shows up behind it. Size, medium to large. Tiny rooms usually don't sell drama in D&B fills. Low cut in the reverb, somewhere around 250 to 500 Hz. Even though we already high-passed before the reverb, doing it again inside the reverb keeps it extra clean. High cut, around 8 to 12 kHz. That keeps the tail from hissing, especially once we start saturating. If you're using the classic reverb device instead, do something like decay 1.5 seconds, pre-delay around 20 milliseconds, diffusion 70 to 90%, high cut around 9K, low cut around 300, and again, 100% wet. Now the ducking compressor. This is the reverb blooms between hits trick. Turn on sidechain. For the sidechain source, you have a choice that really affects groove. If you want the cleanest classic result, sidechain from kick and snare, or from a bus that's basically kick plus snare. If you sidechain from the full drums group, it can do this breathing room effect that's cool in jungle, but constant hats can overcontrol the tail. So start simple. Kick and snare, or the drums group if you only have that. Saturation go around 4 to 1. Attack 1 to 5 milliseconds. Release somewhere around 80 to 180 milliseconds. At 174 BPM, a really good starting window is about 90 to 140 milliseconds. Then adjust by feel until the reverb feels like it's talking in the gaps. Lower the threshold until you see about 3 to 7 dB of gain reduction. When the hits happen, you want to notice it, not as a pumping effect, but as clarity. Now saturator. Drive 1 to 3 dB. Soft clip on. And please level match the output so you're not just choosing louder is better. Then the last EQ8, post reverb. If there's still any mud, high pass again around 200 to 300 Hz. And if the tail is fizzy, a tiny shelf down above 10k helps. If you want the snare verb to feel present, sometimes a small boost around 1.5 to 3k HC helps, but be careful. That range can also turn harsh fast. Okay, now gain staging this end. Go back to your drum tracks, or start on your snare track specifically, and find send going to a fill verb. Set the default send low or completely off. In practice, for the main groove, I want it at negative infinity most of the time, or maybe around minus 20 dB if you want a hint. But for this lesson, let's make the contrast obvious, keep it off, and we automate it on. Because the D&B rule is, don't set and forget drum reverb, ride it like a performance control. Now let's write the automation. Press A to show automation lanes. On the track you're automating, switch the lane chooser to sends only, and pick send A. And I recommend you start with the snare channel. It's the cleanest control. Once you like the move, you can copy the concept to hats or percussion. Here are three go-to automation shapes that work constantly in D&B. First shape, ramp plus hard cut. This is probably the most common. Over the last half bar to one bar of your fill, ramp send A up from off to somewhere around minus 10 to minus 6 dB. That range is strong but not ridiculous. Then on the first hit of the next section, snap it straight back to off. That snap back is everything. That's how you get the drama without stealing impact from the downbeat. If your bar 17 downbeat feels smaller, it's usually because you forgot to cut the send back to dry. Second shape, accent pops. Perfect for ghost notes and little ear candy. Keep the send off most of the time. Then on specific hits, like the last three snare hits of the fill, spike the send briefly. Think, off up to around minus 8 dB for just a 16th or 8th note, then back off. Teacher tip here. Don't draw these as chunky square blocks unless you want aggressive pumping. Switch your grid to 1/16 or even 1/32, and draw little triangle shapes. Smoother ramps in and out will keep the return compressor from doing ugly, clicky stuff. Third shape, pre-drop suck and bloom. In the last bar before a drop, start the send at something moderate, like minus 16, then build it to minus 8 as the bar progresses. Then create a tiny gap right before the drop. It can be a literal silent gap, or just reduce drum hits for the last 8th note. The idea is, you make room so the tail is audible, then cut the send right at the drop so the groove lands clean, but the tail from the gap bridges the transition. That's the cinematic carry. Now, a big intermediate concept, pre-fader versus post-fader sends. By default, Ableton sends are post-fader. That means if you turn the track down, the reverb feed also goes down. That's natural, and it's perfect for most this element moves away rides. But if you right-click the send knob, you can switch it to pre-fader. And this unlocks a classic trick, you can dip or even mute the dry snare while still feeding the reverb. So right before a drop, you can make the snare feel like it disappears into a ghostly tail without needing a massive reverb level. It's a very controlled way to do tension. Let's talk about controlling tail length without constantly messing with decay time. Yes, you can automate the decay a little. For example, keep it around 1.2 to 1.6 in the groove moments, and maybe push to 2.0 or even 3.5 briefly for a bigger transition. But keep those moves small and intentional. Extreme decay jumps can feel unnatural. A cleaner approach is automating tone and level. Option 1. Automate the return track volume. Bring the return up only during fills. This keeps your send values consistent across tracks. Option 2. Automate a post-reverb low-pass filter sweep on that last EQ8. For example, right before the drop, sweep the low-pass from 12k down to about 4 to 6k. The verb feels like it's closing, tension rises, and you didn't have to add more volume. Option 3. Micro-automate the input high-pass. During busy fill moments, move that pre-EQ high-pass up from, say, 250 to 500 or even 700 Hz. That's how you keep density without building low-mid fog. Now quick sanity checks, because this is where people accidentally ruin their mix. 1. The return should usually sit a few dB below the dry snare peak, even during the biggest fill. Unless you're intentionally doing a wash takeover moment, the reverb is supposed to enhance, not replace. 2. Never skip high-pass filtering on the return. D&B sub and reverb lows do not coexist nicely. 3. If your reverb is masking transients, your ducking isn't set right. Either lower the threshold a bit more, or adjust release so the reverb breathes in the gaps. And 4. Don't automate wet/dry on the return as your main move. Automate sends or return volume. Wet/dry automation gets inconsistent fast. Let's add a couple darker D&B upgrades if you're making rollers or neuro. If you want it more industrial and less shimmery, pull the hybrid reverb high cut down to around 6 to 9K, and lean a little more on saturator. You'll get weight without that sparkling top. If you want aggressive tails, put pedal or overdrive after the reverb, but keep it subtle, then low pass it darker. The tail gets crunchy without turning your hats into white noise. For stereo discipline, you can put utility on the return and reduce width to maybe 70 to 90%, and do a mono check occasionally. Hit mono on utility and make sure the tail doesn't collapse into something honky and weird. Now let's do the mini practice, because this locks it in. Take a 16-bar rolling drum loop with a 1-bar fill at bar 16. Build the A. Fill verb return exactly like we did. Ek, reverb, ducking compressor, saturator, ek. Then automate your snare sender like this. Bars 1 through 15. Negative infinity, completely off. Bar 16. Ramp up to about minus 8 dB. At bar 17, snap it straight back to off. Then add 3 little send pops on hats during the fill. Short spikes somewhere around minus 12 to minus 9 dB, just on a few hits. Now toggle the ducking compressor on and off while you listen. With ducking on, the hits should stay clear and the tail should bloom around them. With ducking off, you'll usually hear more smear. Finally, bounce it quickly and check one thing. Does the bar 17 downbeat still slam? If it doesn't, your send isn't snapping back fast enough, or your tail is too loud, or you're feeding too much low mid into the verb. Before we wrap, here are a couple arrangement ideas so this doesn't become a one-trick loop. Every 8 bars, do small send pops, subtle. Every 16 bars, do a bigger ramp plus hard cut. Before breakdowns, try a longer decay moment and a filter sweep on the return. In jungle, try riding the send on chopped amen slices but keep the kick dry. And think in story arcs across 64 bars. Don't use the same ramp every time. Tiny at bar 16, medium at bar 32, featured at bar 48, and a signature long tail into a transition at bar 64. That's how you keep movement evolving. Alright, recap. You built a dedicated fill reverb return with stock devices, EQ into reverb, duck it, saturate it, and EQ it again. This audio version is shortened for playback.